So reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 215. Someone needs to mute their phone or their video. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Brinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Eyari Mahaprabhu Baliya Vachana Jaya 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 Bali Sarva Bhakta Jagan. When Mahaprabhu spoke these words, all the devotees chanted Jai Jai. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Shivas Adigor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Greetings. Today on Ekadasi, I hope I got it right. That's what I was told. Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings a beautiful song. Shuddha Bhakata Charuna Reina. Bhajana Anukula. Madhava Titi Bhakati, that the days of Lord Hari give birth to devotion. That's a nice concept, birth to devotion. I remember when I first came to the Vrindavan, Prabhupada gave the instruction that after Mangal Arti, we should do Harinam Sankirtan to the Jamuna every day. That's when the Jamuna was flowing so swiftly by the side of the Prikram path. On a side note, Leela Velasini sent me some videos today of Vrindavan. Now that Krishna is so powerful, he stopped the abuse of his environment. The birds are coming back, and tomorrow, somehow, I don't know how she's going to do it, but she'll do it. She's going to swim in the Jamuna, which is now crystal clear that the factories are not in Delhi. because it's southwest of Delhi, so the river flows through Delhi and polluted. So I remember when I used to go to the Jamuna in the morning, the next day during Mangal Arati, I would be jumping in such enthusiasm. It would do something. It's born. As a child is born, your devotion takes birth in your heart. So these are very special days. Madhava Tithi, the days of Lord Hari. And it's also auspicious to discuss Hari Katha. So important to have Sangha of devotees. And this is real Sangha. Shrinvata Swa Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Yadanta Sto Yabhadrani Vidanoti Suritsitam. That when the devotees gather together, Shrinvata Swa Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. It's punya. It's spiritual credit. And what happens when you get spiritual credit? Vidanoti. Excuse me. Srindita Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirt Hidyanta Sto in your heart. Vidanoti. Yibantisto Yibadrani. Vidanoti. That which is a bhadra, that which is inauspicious. And what's inauspicious in the heart? Bad thoughts. And what are the bad thoughts? I like the things that are bad for me. That's a bad thought. And I don't like the things that are good for me. Those type of thoughts. And how do we remove those thoughts? Those thoughts, not by our effort, but vidanoti suritsitam, that God is suritsitam. For the devotee, sitam, surit, there's many names for friend, but this name for friend means the friend who is a well-wisher. Surit, who does surit, good for your heart. So Krishna is actually watching our sangha. And as we're exchanging Krishna Katha, it gives him pleasure. It gives him pleasure. And he reciprocates. I love, Prabhupada sometimes said things in just a few words that are so powerful. He said, Krishna is responsive. That's the essence of bhakti. That's how we advance. We advance by Krishna's response to our devotion. It's the path of grace. I was just reading the 10th chapter of the Gita this morning, where they have the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita, the four key verses that sum up the philosophy. And the third one, Tesham Satatayuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddha Yogam Tvam Yenamam. The one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they can come. I give them. Our decisions determine our fate or future. What we are today is based on the decisions we made in the past. What we will be in the future is based on the decisions that we make now. But how do we get the right understanding? The right understanding comes more from anything else than Tesham Satatayuktanam Bhajatam Priti, when you worship Krishna with love and devotion and make your intention known by that devotion, that you're sincere, that you really want to have a relationship with Krishna and you really want to go back to Krishna, then he responds and gives you that knowledge. It's paro dharmo. It's not just dharma. It's the supreme dharma. Savai pumso paro dharmo yato bhaktir adoksije. Hoite ki apratiyata yatma supersediti. What is dharma? At any moment, even right now, every one of us has a myriad of choices, so many choices to make. And what is dharma? It's the science of choosing the appropriate choice for you according to your situation now. It's all choices. And having the jnana, vairagya, the knowledge to make the choice, and vairagya, the discipline to do it. It's so essential in bhakti. Tachradayana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. The thoughtful sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment. So we get it from hearing, and from purifying our heart and serving Krishna. And we're so weak. I'm so weak. We're all so weak. We have no qualification in this age. Our samskaras, the impressions in our hearts, are very weak. You know, when I first came to India, I would meet men of character. I would meet men whose determination and their word were like lines on a stone. That's how Raghunath Das Goswami's practices were described. A lines on a stone. Not one day I do, the next day I don't. They were men of character. And if they gave their word, it was fixed for the rest of their life. Well, we are the ocean of rationalizations. That's our nature. So how to succeed? It's only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. It's only by Krishna inspiring us in the heart. Krishna is responsive. So it's so heartwarming, actually, to see how many people are listening today and taking Krishna Katha, because this is the way that we advance in devotional service. We not only get the knowledge, we get Krishna, because Krishna is none different than his message. Okay, now let's discuss the message. When Mahaprabhu spoke these words, all the devotees chanted Jai, Jai. It says it three times. They were ecstatic because Lord Chaitanya raised his hands and declared, avoid offenses and chant the holy name. Isn't that ecstatic? A simple process. We can all do it. I love being cooped up. For me, this is great. I see Henry's also really ecstatic. Being cooped up. You can just avoid offenses. Sadhu ninda, criticism of devotees. If we can just avoid, I made this point many times, I don't know where I heard it, that practicing devotion is very simple. What's difficult is avoiding offenses, especially the criticism of devotees. And then Lord Chaitanya, this is why they're so ecstatic, he says, if one is free from blasphemy, criticism, if he chants the holy name of Krishna even once, I will certainly deliver him. He's making the process easy. Prabhupada said, the process is simple. the application is difficult. The process is simple because from the material platform, anyone can perform that process right now. You can bow your head and surrender fully to Krishna. In a second, the application is difficult because we don't want to do that. And simple things become difficult that we don't like. I remember when I grew up, I hated vegetables because they didn't cook fresh vegetables. They were in a can with salty something. I hated vegetables. And every meal I would try to hide them someplace. It's a simple thing to do. Eat your vegetables. Eat your vegetables. It's a simple thing to do, but I didn't want to do it, so it was difficult. And that's the thing with bhakti. It's very, very simple. But that heart, to develop that attraction, to develop that liking, bhakti is simply, I like to serve Krishna. And serving Krishna means serving his devotees. So I'm trying to put you in the mood of why the devotees are so ecstatic that the verse says, Jai, Jai, Jai. They all chanted Jai. They heard his words. And the whole pastime, where Lord Chaitanya is so insistent. You're going to read it tomorrow at my Monday morning greetings, because I became inspired on this. The title of the Monday morning greetings is The Movement of Radical Respect. That's what our movement actually is. And then my last line is, can we rise to the challenge? The movement of radical. Lord Chaitanya said, don't disrespect. He says, if you disrespect my servants, even though you're worshiping me, that person is cutting me into pieces. His worship feels like a fire in my body. Jai, the devotees are listening to Lord Chaitanya's exaltation of his devotees. I remember one story where one devotee said, Prabhupada, oh, you're the best of devotees. And Prabhupada said, no, devotee is not ordinary thing. And what is a devotee? Nirmatsaranam satam. What is a devotee? Second verse of the Bhagavatam. Nirmatsaranam satam. A devotee is one. Nirmatsara. Matsara means hate or envy. Devotee is one without hate or envy. Icha, which is difficult, because why? Icha dvesha samutena dvandvamohena bharata. We're born into this world overcome with the dualities of desire and hate. And then Lord Chaitanya says, he even goes to say that my wish fulfilling names, holy names, destroy one who blasphemies my servant. And then he says, who is my servant? All living entities in the universe. And if anyone blasphemies them, they're rude. And then he says, this is to everyone. I'm not just talking to the ordinary person. I'm talking to the top people in society. Even if a sannyasi Because the sannyasi is the spiritual master of all other orders. I reject them. And then he raises his arms. And this is where we kind of finished, and we'll finish the story this week. Then he raises his arms and says, if one is free from blasphemy, if he chants the holy name of the Lord, even once, I will certainly deliver him. Avoid offenses and chant the holy name of Krishna. It's so beautiful when a process is so simple. Materially. Therefore, in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, where there's where there are four verses that summarize the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, when it describes what is the Abhideya Tattva, what is the means of realizing the absolute truth, it's defined very simple. What is our practice? One should search after this. And what is this? Prema Bhakti. Indirectly, directly. Directly means by all our practices. Indirectly means by anything we do. It doesn't mean just chanting, but it means all our activities, normal dealings should be done according to the will of Krishna, which includes kindness and charity and compassion. Directly and indirectly, sarvatra, sarvada, anywhere and everywhere. Universally applicable. We should search for this. So, that pastime, beginning with Lord Chaitanya losing his temper with Advaita. This is going to be discussed too, how to understand this, because he became so upset with Advaita. I told the story last time, but Advaita was the acharya. He was senior. He was elder. Lord Chaitanya always respected him. He wanted to do service. And he thought in his mind, how can I destroy this illusion that Lord Chaitanya has, that I am his superior, which becomes an obstacle for me for putting my head on his feet, which puts an obstacle for me for doing simple service to him. How can I destroy that? It's so strong. I'm 50 years older than him. He's the emblem of culture. He's the emblem of devotion. I am the acharya, but he is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Lord. And I just humbly called him to lead this mission. My only goal is to bow on his feet. I know what I'll do. I will preach Yoga Vishishta, a doctrine so antagonistic to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he'll lose his temper. And to punish me, he will have to take a superior position. And then Advaita was so humble, Lord Chaitanya's anger subsided, and then he began to glorify Advaita. And not only Advaita, the concept of Vaishnavata, the concept of Vaishnavism, the concept of what is a devotee. And to offer them respects, because it's not an ordinary thing. Now I'll just read some of the some of the rasa. I'll read just some of the rasa of this story. Advaita cried and grabbed the Lord's two lotus feet. The Lord also began to cry as he embraced Advaita. So the tears are coming from joy. Joy of that sense of overwhelming devotion. When you realize the glories of Krishna. I kind of see who's on, and I see some of my friends from the Middle East are on. And I remember this was their first time in Mayapur, and I was taking them, and we entered into the Panchatattva. And there was one devotee. He was a simple person. He was an older man. I think he was a devotee ready for 30 years. And he never been to Mayapur. I see all of you that are here. So many have been to Mayapur. He's never been because he grew up in the Middle East, and it's not. And I stayed behind and watched him go in, and I saw his legs shake as he stood before Panchatattva. His legs were shaking. So when you feel mercy and you see glory, it makes you happy in a way that transforms your body. And what to speak of the realizations of these devotees as they are seeing Lord Chaitanya glorifying the devotees. And Advaita, because he's the centerpiece of this whole thing, and the teachings were to him. How does he feel when the Lord gave him the mercy of his realization? There's no greater mercy than someone giving you a realization. Because only a realization can change your consciousness. Only a realization, that's why we have affection for teachers. Because teachers can, through our own understanding and frame of reference, give us a realization that allows us to see reality at a higher level of perception and contentment. So it's a very moving experience. And Advaita just, the Lord had accepted him as a servant. He explained the glories of his servant. He cried and grabbed Lord Chaitanya's feet. And Lord Chaitanya began to cry, and he embraced Advaita. And everyone was in complete ecstasy because so many other devotees were there. I'll read that verse. The entire world floated in Advaita's ecstatic love. Such are the inconceivable topics of Advaita. Who has the power to understand Advaita's words? One should know there is no difference between him and the Supreme Lord. So he's Mahavishnu. He's also a manifestation. As we know, there's Panchatattva. The Lord appeared in five features. Panchatattva, Makam, Krishnam, Bhaktarupa, Sarupa, Bhaktavataram. He's the avatar of a devotee. And now something's going to happen here, and it's almost historical. And I was just speaking to someone who actually was studying a little bit the history of this. And it wasn't easy to accept Lord Nityananda and his position. He was an avadut. He was... one second, I took some. Yeah. He, I gave that verse in the Bhagavatam always, evam vritas with priyanama kritaja. When one has prema, jitanu raga, comes raga. And one can be so absorbed and be so guided and moved by that, that it's hard to understand. Sometimes it's described, he's restless like a child. How does a child act? It's called lila or play. Is there any reason why a child acts? Is there any education? Is there any intellectual consideration why a child acts? He acts from the heart. Now, it's just like in the rasa dance, when Krishna is dancing with all the gopis, there's a very interesting comment that is made. It says that the rasa becomes greater than God. The love becomes greater than God. And it gives a reason to explain that. It says, generally, one it says it described just like when someone's intoxicated, they generally people I just can't remember the words I used to describe this. Just give me a second. It's such an interesting point. An intoxicated person doesn't act for pleasure. Out of pleasure, they act. So when someone's intoxicated, they can do anything. It doesn't conform to any rules because they're not acting. And when you act for pleasure, then so it says in the same way in the rasa dance, God is not acting for pleasure. Out of pleasure, he's acting. So what happens in an intoxicated man? The pleasure becomes his controller. So when God is intoxicated with love, out of love, he acts. He doesn't act for pleasure. Out of pleasure, he acts. And therefore, God is no longer the karanam of the cause. The rasa is the cause. So it's trying to give you a sense of this, that Nityananda is at such a level of devotion that out of pleasure he acts. It's like a child. And therefore, if you try to understand it by social conformity, or intellectual understanding, you'll misunderstand it. Nityananda is avadut. And it's not everyone on the platform of prema or love will act that way. There's different, and I don't want to go into this, but in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says there's different spiritual psychologies. And I'll give you two. One is called a pebble in a pond. A pebble is a very small thing. If you throw it in a pond, it makes a lot of ripples. Another is called a volcano in an ocean. There may be an explosion and you don't see it. So great spiritual personality. Some can be very, very grave. And others with a little bit of agitation, you just see it. So Nityananda is so playful. And therefore, it's going to be described, be careful how you understand it. And this is actually historical. It was very difficult for some people to understand Nityananda, especially his exalted position. He's practically the acharya. it's actually, there was a, after Lord Nityananda left, organized by Narottam Das Thakur, I think funded by his brother, they had a huge festival to bring at Keturi, to bring all the Vaishnavas together and actually kind of agree basically on the tattva and establish it. The words and activities of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas are incomprehensible. Only by mercy can we understand them. Only Lord Balaram has the power to understand the pastimes that took place between Nityananda, Advaita, and their associates. In his form as Ananta, he sings their glories with his thousand mouths. So now you'll see some of that play. And you have to understand it in the context of Leela, that there are certain personalities that don't act for pleasure, but out of pleasure they act. And therefore, there's no way to put them in the framework of social conformity. Vishwambar then glanced at Advaita and spoke and smiled as he spoke. Of course, Vishwambar means Lord Chaitanya. Have I been mischievous like a child? Advaita replied, not particularly. So why is he saying that? Because he lost his temper with Advaita, but it's all rasa. It's all lila. It's organized to bring pleasure to the highest degree. The spiritual world is drama. Because without drama, emotion can't be brought to its height. So this is also lila. And it brings the emotion and the relationships and the love of the devotees to the highest. The Lord said, listen, Nityananda Mahasaya, if I've been restless, please forgive me. I was like a child. I lost control of myself. Then Nityananda, Chaitanya, Advaita, and Haridas looked at one another and they all laughed. Because it's not external. It's somehow or other the exchange of love. Everything is manifest from that desire to please. The Lord manifests his activities to please the devotees, and the devotees manifest their activities to please the Lord. And this is direct relationships between them, as it explained in the Tathagatriya Upanishads, rasa vai saha, rasa. The ultimate reality is rasa. Vishwambar would address the most chaste wife of Advaita as mother. The Lord said, quickly, go quickly and cook an offering for Krishna. Then we will eat. So, Vaishnav society is an exchange of hearts. And how important it is to bring our best to a Vaishnav society. And what a contribution to a Vaishnav society if we purify our hearts. Because what Sangha does, what intimate association does, it creates a conduit of hearts. And actually, the main way we advance is by relationships with advanced devotees. Because there's an exchange of heart. I mean, Bhurijan Prabhu made this wonderful comment in the pastime where this dog joined the parikram of Shivananda Sen, who was taking the devotees to meet Lord Chaitanya in Puri. And he gave shelter to that dog. And then somehow that dog went back to Godhead at the end. It's a long story. It's a beautiful story. And then Borijan made that point. It's such essence of bhakti. We should act in such a way that the heart of a Vaishnav melts, because then everything will come out. So when we have good sangha, and we're the dati pritta grinati, we're giving gifts and we're exchanging gifts. I remember one year, it was a unique year. For about 6 months, the most senior of my godbrothers took shelter of Vrindavan. It was a time of disruption in the Hare Krishna movement. Tamal Krishnamaraj was there. Giriraj Swami was there. Satchinandana Swami was there. Burijan Prabhu, so many of the Parthasarthi Goswami, so many of the Vaishnavas. Mother Jagatarini, Mother Karta, so many Vaishnavas were there. And we were living the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We were living it. You would get gifts from devotees. You would give gifts to devotees. They would cook prasadam. They would invite you over. They would reveal their hearts. Guyam Ayachi Pri. You inquire in confidence. That's the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was such a beautiful experience. Because that's what Vaishnavism is. So, and the hearts open up, and then your realizations are shared, your devotion is shared. And that's the ecstasy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that's the ecstasy. When I have my Puri Yatra every year, I tell devotees what my theme is. It's to create community, not just to speak Gaur Lila, but to actually live it. And it begins with community. It begins with people who can join together in a common interest. Hanging their false egos at the door, with open hearts, so they can open their hearts to others, and their open heart can receive others. And then there's no barrier to the holy name and the pastimes of Krishna to enter one's heart, and the prasadam. So Lord Chaitanya tells her to cook. Then Lord Chaitanya and Dvaita, Nityananda, Haridas, they go and bathe. And then, which is pastimes in itself, and then they return to the house. And then Lord Chaitanya offers his obeisances to the deity of Krishna in the house. And we just briefly discussed this, and it's such a beautiful scene, and it shows you what Vaishnavism is. Just get this scene. Advaita, as soon as he gets in the house, he falls at the feet of Vishvambar, of Lord Chaitanya. And then Haridas falls at the feet of Advaita. And Nityananda is just watching this chain of humility, this chain of respect of these three great personalities, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita. And it describes that these personalities that manifest here, Panchatattva Makam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avataram, the Lord appearing in different manifestations of devotees. It's the bridge to understand all religious principles by observing their activities. I feel fortunate have grown up in my spiritual life in Vrindavan and learned from seeing senior Vaishnavas. I remember I heard one senior Vaishnava. I actually was delivering a message to him. I'm not going to tell you the circumstance, but his answer stuck in my heart. He said, tell such and such. He was giving a message to someone else. I delivered the message from that person. This senior Vaishnava delivered the message back. And he said, when a Vaishnava asks for forgiveness, and he went like this, everything is gone. And I just remember that, and it had so much power. And I remember different instances where, you know, I forgave someone. And of course, I also need forgiveness, but this is an example. I forgave someone. And then an instance came up where I could have brought up again what they were begging forgiveness for. But because that Vaishnava told me, when a Vaishnava begs forgiveness, it's all gone. I couldn't bring it up. It wasn't that it was the same thing, but it was something else where I could have used it, but no, it's all gone. So they are the bridge to religious principles. And I'll tell you another personal story where I just, like a Vaishnava said something that was so powerful. When I was to take sannyas, I told you this story before. At that time in ISKCON, you didn't choose any type of guru. You had to take the person that was in your area. And of course, I was first and second issued by Prabhupada. Prabhupada had left, and now I was taking the renounced order. And I had doubts, which proved to be true, about the renunciation of the particular person in my area that I was supposed to take sannyas to. So I went to a senior Vaishnava and I said, well, what should I do? And I said, well, anyway, it's just a formality. And he looked at me, he said, there are no formalities in Vaishnava relationships. Every relationship is substantial and real. You take sannyas from the person who inspires you the most in renunciation. And somehow I did that. I took from His Holiness Satsrup Maharaj. And, but so Nityananda is looking at them. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur said, this is the bridge to religious principles. When you see their behavior. When the Lord began to rise, he saw a dvaita at his feet, and he quickly stood up and exclaimed, Vishnu, Vishnu. Because again, a dvaita was so senior. Vishnu, they chant Vishnu, Vishnu. It's when something goes wrong, Vishnu, Vishnu. Let me say God's names. Let me be purified. Now look, it's so affectionate. Vishrambar took Advaita by the hand and went with Nityananda to the dining room. When a senior Vaishnava grabs you affectionately by the hand, I remember that old wonderful Vaishnava, Dr. Fakir Mohan, and he's very humble, and he would come to Govardhan Puja every year at Govardhan. And then I would try to look after him. I remember he would affectionately, when he goes someplace, just grab your hand. The three lords, Vishrambar, Nityananda, and Advaita, then they sat down to eat together. And by the nature, they were restless. Because it's Leela, it's play. especially Nityananda. And Haridas is watching these pastimes. We're getting towards the end of the class, and I'll just do 5 more minutes and kind of sum up what's happening. A feast was served, and there's always descriptions in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Charitamrita of prasadam. Sometimes it's 20 pages of preparations. Because what prasadam is, it's a devotee's love. When you express love, it's an emotion, but the emotion is experienced by the other person through the senses. If you give someone flowers, the color of the flowers, the fragrance of the flowers, the scent of the flowers, it's an emotional thing. It's their love. Because bhakti means to do your best. It means to offer the best. It means to offer the best. So when you get the best from someone, it's offered out of love. It's an emotional experience. So when they describe these preparations and how finely they're made, it's not just like a menu when you're reading it. You're reading the love of the devotees. In noon now, because we have so much time, and I sit and I chant before lunch, and I chant that song. Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala Sri Gohari, Sri Gohari Sohi Gosta Vihari, Nandaya So Mata Chitta Hari, Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala. And then it describes the feast, the 13 verses of what Mother Yasoda was feeding Krishna. I think that song in Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnav temples, in a strict tradition, they'd always sing that song of the different preparations. It's so intricate. Why? Because the devotee is offering their best and Krishna is tasting their love. I still haven't finished the story. We'll finish it next week. But Nityananda gets restless and he starts to throw the rice around. And Advaita and him have some kind of loving argument. And they're just so bewildered. This Nityananda, they don't know where he came from. It's so funny. They accuse him of associating with the devotees from the West, of Bengal. You're associating with the devotees from the West. We don't know who you are, who your guru is. So it's the pastimes. So would anyone like to share a reflection, something that they appreciated from the class that they'll take back, something they remember?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhakti Devi.
Hey, how about?
I have a question about the offense of criticizing devotees. You say it's a simple process, but I don't find that so simple.
That's the hardest thing in the world.
Because I find that it goes on quite a bit, actually. And it happens even by senior devotees, I find.
Well, we'll put it this way. A Paramahamsa, the one who is at the topmost level, is free from the propensity free from the propensity to criticize others. So it's a difficult thing. It's simple. The process is simple. The application is difficult. And we're in the age of quarrel and confusion. We're in the age of quarrel and confusion. So it's not an easy thing. I always tell the story that for the last 5 days of Kartik, one of my godbrothers, I asked him what he's doing. He said, well, I'm not going to criticize devotees. And whenever I do, I'm going to bite my tongue and pull my ears. Because this is what Indians do when they make a mistake. So I said, okay, I'll do that. It was the hardest thing I ever had. But the criticism, really, when you mean criticism, it's something that comes from envy. It's not that you can't correct someone. It means when it's born of envy. Okay? Betty, it's not easy in this world. We ourselves have to be very liberal-minded and tolerant and just understand that everyone is struggling, and this is one thing that they're struggling with a lot. And the internet multiplies it by 1,000 times.
Oh yes.
Because one commentary on the Ishwarupanishad said on the Upadeshamrita that prajalpa or idle talk will inevitably lead to criticism. Idle talk will inevitably lead to criticism because it's so much part of the false ego of superiority. That's our modus operandi. We're trying to be superior. So criticism is one of the main ways in which we do it. So it's so core with that false ego. So it's a very, so it's always lurking there, ready to come out. And when we're loose with the tongue, and we start talking idly, and idly means we lose control of the tongue, it is going to go there. Thank you, Betty.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna
Maharaj.
Hare Bo, Gail.
Yeah, I just want to say that this class was like jam-packed with such sweet stuff. You know, I could say a lot of things, but the one thing that I will mention that, you know, because, you know, you say, often you say things, you know, repeatedly, but there are certain classes you present in a way that, you know, gives more realization of it. So speaking of realization, the main thing I would want to comment on is when you said that the affection of a teacher is the realizations that you get from him because of how it, you know, expands your consciousness, and the expansion of the consciousness is what gives increased contentment to the heart. So I really love that explanation of the affection of a teacher.
Gail, and I like the way you said it. You said it even more clearly than I did. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. This was really a wonderful class.
Okay. Anybody else like to share something that they appreciated?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Like Gail said, it was such a sweet class. Thank you so much. And I really, really loved actually two things that you said. One of them about how Krishna and Lord Nityananda were acting out of pleasure and not for pleasure. And that really struck me. I thought that was so sweet. And then the other thing is when you said that we should act in a way toward devotees that melts their heart so that everything comes out, their realizations and their devotion. So thank you so much for both of those points. And the whole class was just
thank
precious.
You. Tiffany, thank you so much.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Okay, anybody else like to share a realization that they like?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Bo.
Oh.
I was going to say, if I had to step away for a second, but I think you were talking about Raghunath Das Goswami drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that whole aspect of that story of really like putting your foot down and just doing the grind. Like, and you won't accept anything less.
Great. Brajesh Sundararajah loves that realization too.
I mean, it might not be a reality, but I'm just kidding.
Okay, that I know. That's the Ras. No, but we'll speak about that. That's good. Lines in a stone. Our practice should be regular. Thank you. That's a good realization.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Okay. Anybody else like to share their realization?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Raghunath. Hi, Bo.
Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Amazing class, Maharaj. Amazing. After such a long time, such a deep realization of offenses. I wanted to share one thing, Maharaj, that we've been told initially in our initial days in Krishna consciousness that you can criticize someone if you want. Only in three conditions. If it's going to benefit the one you're telling about somebody. Second thing, if the one you're criticizing about one person, like third person, or if it is going to benefit the society. Like if I'm criticizing to B, I'm A, I'm criticizing to B about C. So if it is beneficial for the B, or if it is beneficial for the C, or if it is beneficial for all society, then you can criticize. And using that privilege, we often used to see that people are criticizing openly different families, different sampradaya, different school of thoughts, different philosophies, you know, sometimes. So Mara, like you have really very nicely explained how dangerous it is to criticize anybody and how poisonous it could be. So Maharaj, would you like to add something into it? Is it true that we can criticize somebody if it is going to benefit somebody?
Yeah, of course, if we can benefit them. But to them. If it's not born of envy, there can be benefit. But when is it not born of envy? It's mostly born of false ego, our desire for superiority. Because, you know, if it's born out of love, I think the peer person will feel it or realize it. Or you may be in a position to do it. You know, that may be your son. You know, you may have to tell him something, you know, out of love. Then it won't have an effect, even if he initially even protests. Later, he'll feel, my father loved me so much that he tried to correct me. Rather than if you didn't do it and he just did anything he wanted, later he would think, why didn't my father correct me? Why my father let me do anything? So, yeah. But I think those conditions that you gave are very rarely met. So, you know, I the article I wrote for this week's Monday Morning Greetings, it was the movement of radical respect. Lord Chaitanya was really emphasizing it in this pastime, every living entity, etc. Okay, thank you, Raghunath. So nice to see you.
See you. Later.
Really? Okay. Lal, so nice to see Raghunath, huh? Here, huh? Your friend. Okay.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anybody like to just say hello? We'll finish this up. At 11 o'clock, I'm going to give another class. So I have to prepare now. But anybody else like to just say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay. I saw... let me see.
I saw.
Hey, Sudama, great to
thank
see you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the great class. I missed you so much, Maharaj.
Well, anyway, somehow this is bringing us all together. It's great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's wait 1 second. I saw Radha Charan, Shradhanjali, Kalachandri, Gala.
Thank you so much for the class.
Thank you, Gala, for coming on. Great. It's a nice community you have here. Very good. Oh, Hemalata Radha. Wow. Yeah, great to see you. Okay.
Thanks so much.
I sent you a message, but maybe you didn't get it. I wanted to send a donation to that Food for Life that used to do in Argentina. Send me his email and his name. Adi is his name? What was his name? That did the Food for Life in Colombia. What was his name?
Oh, Adi Carta.
What?
Adi Carta.
Adi Carta. Send me his information.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Mukunda.
Mukunda, Hare Bol. Good.
Hare Bol.
Nice to see you on. Some more people?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, so the Gopinath here. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Good to hear. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Radha. Wow. Thank you so much. Radha Charan, I'll send you a note, but I'd like to speak to you again sometime at your convenience next week. Just send me a time. That's good. I want to speak to you about something. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shurupa.
Hey, Shurupa. Hare Bol. Good. Good. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Sri Gandharvika.
Jai. Hare Bol. Good. I suppose we'll see you at 11 also. Good. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Greetings from Bulgaria, from Kamala.
Oh, you're back in Bulgaria.
Yeah, I got here.
How is that possible?
It was very hard, but...
Did they have a special plane that flew into Mexico or something?
Well, the only flight we had to Europe was to Netherlands. So, yeah, we got there.
Okay, you managed. Okay, contact me this week. We should touch base, okay?
Sure. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Okay. Thank you for the lecture.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, yeah. Great. I'm hankering to come to Kali. I really am. I had such a nice talk with Sri Govinda and Shyam Sundri yesterday.
Ah, okay.
So I'm really anxious. We'll see what destiny is. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Brajarade.
Brajarade. Hare Bol. Good.
Hare.
Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Malati.
Malati. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Okay. A few more.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Don Cayley. It's good to see you.
Hare Bo.
Thank you.
I'm missing your cooking.
Yes. Hopefully you'll come up to upstate New York soon. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Anybody else? Because I think you're in your kitchen now, right?
Yes, I was cooking partially during the class.
I saw that and I was like hoping that we'd have a medium that it can go across the internet, but we don't. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I'll see you people. Whoever wants to come at 11 o'clock, we'll have the next thing. I'll take a little break and then prepare. Okay. But somehow now these clowns, I'm glad we're doing the visual. You're right, Don Kelly. It kind of adds and, you know, wow. Okay. Hare Bol, Hare Bol. We'll go for now.